Chapter 24.
Father God, we just thank you because you are God. Father God, we thank you because you are here as God. You are the living God, and you always come with favor. You always come bringing peace. Your thoughts toward us are always thoughts of peace. You always come to do good, to tell something wonderful to us, your children, those whom you have appointed to be ambassadors, those whom you have made a sweet aroma in the earth, those whom you have used to bring forth and accomplish your purposes, to manifest your glory. We thank you, Lord God, what a privilege it is to know you that we might make you known among all the earth. Lord, we have a worldwide mission to make you known to the nations, our own, all others. We thank you that tonight you are the God who is seen amongst your people, who walks among the lampstands. We know, Lord Jesus, that you are walking among us tonight, examining us, watching us, looking at us carefully, that you might commend us where we need to be commended and encouraged, that you might lift us where we're hurting, but that you might rebuke us where we're missing, where we're in the flesh, where things are not right, where we're blind, where the enemy has gotten in, so that we might put away every weight that clings so closely to run the race that is set before us. It's our earnest desire, it's our fervent prayer that you would reveal to us anything and all things that hinder the work of the kingdom of God in our midst and through us to the waiting world. Lord Jesus, we know that your heart breaks. We know that your heart cries. We know that there's a mourning that goes up for the lost world. We know that every day we hear on the news, and it must break your heart, because it surely breaks our heart, and we know that our heart has now been filled with the Spirit of the living God. And we know that as you are hurt, so we are hurt, and as you cry, so we cry, and as you mourn, so we mourn. Because as you are, so are we, and as we are, so are you. We know that we've been given new hearts, and we are learning even now to enter in to that tenderness which you have toward that which is broken and lost and crying, to that which is covered and that which must be revealed. Lord God, we thank you tonight that you have a living word for us, one that's alive. Oh, Lord God, we are afraid, we have fear to speak a word that's not of God. We have no desire to say things that would interest people, that would tickle the ears, that would just simply add to the religious repertoire. Lord God, we want to see you. We want to hear Jesus tonight. We want to know the living God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are ourselves, but we are new selves. We have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. We have been born because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are filled with the Spirit of that living God. Our mouth is filled with praise. Our feet are ready to carry the gospel of peace wherever. Our heads are covered with the helmet of righteousness. Our breasts are covered with righteousness and salvation. We have the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. In every way we're protected. In every way we're enthusiastic. In every way we're fervent. In every way we're zealous. In every way we wish to see the glory of God revealed. We wish to see the enemy overthrown. We wish to see the lost saved. We wish to see those that are unrepentant hear the word of God, that they might be judged. Lord God, we know that you are doing a great and mighty work in the earth. We have become fools for your sake. We've given up all earthly thinking. We no longer think like this world. We no longer act like this world. We have thought only of the things that you have told us, and we have begun to act in peculiar ways, conforming every thought to the Word of God, bringing into line every piece of behavior, that we might bring you glory tonight, that we might bring you honor all the days of our life. We know the time is short. Nonetheless, Lord God, in every minute that we are alive, we desire to bring you glory. We desire, that's what we desire. We desire to just to manifest your glory, to make known how beautiful you are, how faithful you are, how your word is true, how you are altogether righteous and holy and pure and majestic, how you are high and lifted up and there is no other. There is only one God, the maker of heaven and earth, the redeemer of mankind, the savior of this world, the one who has now renewed us and restored us and is bringing us into perfection, that we might behold you one day face to face, that we might stand in your presence all the days of eternity and know that this is the zeal of the Lord of hosts that hath done all things. We thank you, Lord God, you have a word for us tonight that will bring us closer, that will make heaven seem more real and earth seem more remote. We thank you, Lord God, we're pilgrims, strangers here. We haven't found a home here. We're more and more restless, more and more running and moving through the earth. So we see the swiftness of the hand of God moving over the nations now. As we see the Holy Spirit brooding over the troubled waters of this life. As we see that chaos has its day. And as we see the order being brought through the church of Jesus Christ, that everyone who has been named of God, everyone who will, whosoever will, may be saved. Oh God, we love you, we thank you, we adore you, we worship you, we magnify you, we lift up the name of Jesus and Him only, and no other. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you that it's your desire to manifest Father to us through the Spirit tonight, that we might truly be your people, that we might be a people of the Word, that that Word might become flesh and dwell among us tonight, that the Word of God might take on a rhema, might take on a reality, might take on a present power tonight, and bring revival to us. We pray for Bethel Temple tonight. We know that Dave is over there, and we just pray for that service. And we pray for Bob Nichols over here, and we pray for Rockwell Assembly, and we pray for Orlando, and we pray for all the churches in this city that love the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. We live in a city that is full of religion, both good and bad, but we're excited about that which is alive. There's so much life in this city, and we thank you, Lord God, for that. We thank you for the men of God in this city and the women of God in this city and the children of God in this city who are excited about Jesus Christ. We thank you for the ministries that are based here. We thank you even for all the heresies that wander around here, because you said even the heresies are good for us because they show us who's wise. And they must be. We're not afraid of the flesh. We're not afraid of the devil. But Lord God, we thank you that you're here tonight to do wondrous things and to make again, your name known among your people so that it might be known in the earth that there is a God, a living God to be contended with in this earth. This is your world. You won it. You made it. You repurchased it. And now you're calling for it. In Jesus' holy name, we pray all these things. And all the people said,
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. It's too bad we have to preach tonight. Sometimes you just feel like praying. I want to bring you tonight a word that God brought to me out of Isaiah, the 24th chapter. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of interest in usury, so with the giver of interest in usury. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. How many know that this word has not yet come to pass? This word is going to come to pass. This word is going to come to pass. I believe that God is speaking this word to us. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away, the haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Now you see, this is a description of the world that we live in. There are terrible ones in the world today. There are mighty ones, there are great ones, who actually are working for Satan to spread a veil or a net and cover the earth with darkness. These who work for Satan are real flesh and blood people. Even though we wrestle not against flesh and blood, I want you to know that Satan does not operate without the help and assistance of flesh and blood, who are conscious of Satan's design in one way or another, who consciously know that they are rejecting the program and the Spirit of God, who are breaking the ordinances of God, who know it, who know that they are not living the way that God has called them to live, and they have rejected Jesus Christ. This world is in much darkness. Many people do not know the name of Jesus Christ, but I want to tell you something. Those who are rulers of this world know the name of Jesus Christ. Those who are the terrible ones and the mighty ones know the name of Jesus Christ and have rejected that name. Now, I know many of the peoples of this world are ignorant of that name, but Jesus Christ is known to the world rulers, and another thing is they know the Scriptures. They are not ignorant of the Word of God, and they have purposely changed the ordinances. They have, in liberal terms, destroyed the plain sense of the Word of God, and they have rejected the commandments of God, the everlasting covenant. They have broken it. Therefore, verse 6, hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languishes, and all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of tabrets ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may enter in. What is the city of confusion? The city of confusion is that ancient city, the city of Satan, the city of man, Babylon. Babylon is decreed as a broken city in the ancient world. But Babylon is also a symbol of man's self-efforts to play God, at man's efforts to build a kingdom on this earth. I want to tell you something. This scripture has not yet been fulfilled. Babylon has not yet fallen. In one sense, the old Babylon fell. In another sense, Jesus Christ defeated all the works of darkness, all the human clientele. Babylon fell under the ministry of Jesus Christ and defeated Satan's kingdom. Satan is the king of Babylon. He defeated him utterly on Calvary, but in another sense, that kingdom has not visibly fallen. That is, there is yet to be a day in which we will see the smoke of that city go up. We will see that city fall. That is, the city of man, or the city of confusion. There is crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. Now I tell you, when that day happens, it's an exciting day. That's not a bad day. That's doomsday for those that have chosen to reject Jesus Christ. That's doomsday for those that have said, I don't want any part of Jesus, I don't want to hear it, and they refuse to repent after multitude of opportunities to repent and accept Jesus Christ. This is before the glorious church comes forth. I mean, this is after. This is after the church comes into her splendor, and we haven't done that yet. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight what's going to happen between now and that day. Because that day is burning hot. That day is coming. That day is coming. And I'm excited. That's not a bad day. That's an exciting day when the justice of God accomplishes what it was intended to accomplish. Today, maybe you feel sorry for those people because we were like unto them in many ways. But I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people that will not accept Jesus Christ and just refuse to. And they shall burn in the lake of fire. Yeah, maybe you've never heard me preach hellfire and damnation. But I'm going to tell you, that's in the Bible. Hellfire and damnation is in the Bible. You know, it certainly need not be preached all the time to the people of God to weigh them down. But you better warn the people that that's true. And there are many people who will not receive Jesus Christ, and they will burn in the lake of fire forever. And therefore, according to the Bible, we must snatch as many as possible from that fire before it's too late. That's what's exciting to us as a people. We've already been set free. Judgment has already taken place for us in that sense. We're written, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and Jesus said, rejoice in that. That's the greatest thing to rejoice in, is that your names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, my name's in there. Raise your hand if your name's in there. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. That through the blood of Jesus and through your faith in that blood. That's an exciting thing, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the most exciting thing. Today, it's just words for many of us. But I'm going to tell you something. In a few years, you'll understand that's the most exciting thing. Suddenly, your eyes will be opened as never before. I don't know how excited you are about God or about His kingdom or about His coming again. But I tell you, that's the most burning, passionate thing. There's nothing else to live for. There is nothing else in this world but to share that good news and that gospel. And I know many people who are Christians are still preoccupied. They are still preoccupied with this world. They are still covered by the net. They are still snared and sleeping. They are still apathetic. They are still, you know, working dead works and religious works. But God is calling forth a people that have broken through the net, that have busted holes in that net. How many know that Satan right now is seeking through South America and Central America and Mexico to take this nation? To surround this nation and depress her. To take us from Asia and Europe and Africa, from every nation around the globe, just to surround us so that we'll be distracted in petty wars, so that we'll become threatened by the work of the enemy. In every way, Satan is working night and day to threaten the people of God. I'm going to tell you something. The people of God are not threatened. Amen. The people of God are not threatened. Hey, we're the ones threatening Satan. Amen. Now, the only reason that the people of God today experience a threatening fear inside of them is because they do not know the love of God. If you knew God and loved Him with all your heart, you'd be excited. But many Christians have grown cold in their love. They've grown cold. And I'll tell you, if your love is already lukewarm, what's it going to be in the day of trial? We haven't yet come to the day of trial. The day of trial is coming on the earth, but it's not yet here. We are living right now. I'm going to tell you what we're living in right now. We're living right now in a time of confusion. We are not there's no major war going to take place. I believe this is prophetic from the Lord. We are living in a day of confusion right now. And it's a time for the church. Not for the world. Don't worry about the world. I don't believe the world's going to do this or do that. It's a time just of rumors and rumors of war and all kinds of crazy things going on. But I believe that right now God has an agenda. And this is God's agenda. God is calling us right now. He's showing us the net that's spread. If you can't see it, then you need to open your eyes, because it's visible to anyone who has the eyes of faith, who's read the scriptures. It's visible to anyone who can turn on the television set or read. Satan is seeking to destroy the light that started at Calvary and then only little pockets of it. And I believe that this net that he's spreading, he's been patching it, repairing it. You know, it was ripped in half in such a way that it'll never be completely restored. Nonetheless, he's got remnants and tatters and things, and he's sewing the thing back up again, trying again and again and again and again and again. And he's just about now he's feeling his strength, and he's believing that he's almost got it in such a way that he's confident that the light could be put out entirely. But I'm going to tell you something. God's got a plan. And God's plan is to put 1 billion holes in that veil. There are many holes in it now, but Satan's busy trying to sew them all up, you know, to get his clients to do his bidding. But I believe we're not only is he not going to succeed, but I believe we're going to put 1 billion holes in that. That's 1 billion. Billions. Into the billions. Holes in that veil that's spread over the nations. Right now, that veil is spread over Europe. There's very little life in Europe. There is almost no power in the continent. There's just very little life and light. I know that there's revival here and there, and I know there's some small groups here and there, and some Christian groups, and some charismatic groups, and spirit-led groups, and so on. But there's very little real power in Europe. It's a dark continent. It's darker than Africa. Right now, Europe is darker than the dark continent of Africa. Africa is brighter. There is more hope in Africa today. But that continent also is one that's besieged, not only with Marxism and Spiritism and Islam and so on, but even by the colonial powers that aren't gone. Only now they don't have a military or a government presence, they now have an economic presence. And they would strip those nations of all of their power. That's what's happening in Africa. They're under a great weight, and a great veil also is spread over that continent. And over Asia, although there's a bright light in Korea, and there's a bright light in China, and there's a bright light in Japan. The Japan light is just a 25 water. It's not very big. And the China thing is strong, but it isn't that strong to break the veil. It's not strong enough to actually rip the thing in shreds. It's only enough to make a hole here and there, perhaps even a million holes. But it's not enough to take the continent. It's not enough to take the nation. It's not enough to take the country. And throughout South America now, everywhere, the net is spread. Darkness is thicker than it was before. It went from Catholicism and from all of the pagan religion backgrounds that were there, and now many other specters, but the most visible one being Marxism, now seeks to take that continent and move right on up. Because this nation, of all the nations of the earth, has more freedom and more hope, not because of democracy or the Constitution, but because of the gospel. Because of the gospel. We are still the nation that has funds and time and prayer and fasting an opportunity that no other nation has. No other nation. No other nation. There is no other. And, of course, the Middle East is always a hot spot, and there, Syria and Lebanon and all those ancient countries that we read about in the Scriptures are still fighting it out. And so this net is spread everywhere. It's almost like there's no escape. But God is saying that veil that is across the nations, I will destroy. I will destroy that veil. So God has established us as lights in the darkness, little lights that shine in the darkness. We are never going to destroy completely that veil. I want you to know that. Jesus will do that when he comes back. All we have to do is break holes in it constantly to give little pockets of hope here and there, little pockets of hope. And the bigger we make the tear, the better. But God is calling us as a people to rip and to tear and destroy that fabric. That Satan. Now, we have to stay ahead of Satan because he's busy sowing. You know, he's busy weaving. He's got his people everywhere. I could name people, but I won't. But he's got people throughout the earth seeking to patch up that dark veil. Now, I said this was a time of confusion right now. The present troubles that we're in right now, do not worry, do not fear. They are only a foretaste of what Satan has in mind later, and which he will bring to pass, by the way. By God's decree, he will. By God's decree, he'll bring it to pass. But it's not for now. For right now, it's only a foretaste to warn the church. Now, God is calling the church at this hour, not to revival, but to holiness. God is calling the church to be a happy, spirit-filled, joy-filled people, but also a separated, holy people. Now, I tell you, real joy and holiness and maturity all go together. When you enter into the real joy of the Lord and enter into that true holiness of God and enter into that true maturity of the Lord, they go together. That will bring revival, nothing else. We're not ready for revival yet. We will not see revival. You say, well, I've heard of revival in Nagaland and I've heard of revival here and our brother spoke of revival. No, that is not yet revival. Those are sparks of revival. And I indeed, they're exciting and they're wonderful, but that is not yet revival. God is going to have a revival that is exceedingly great, and it's going to happen in an incredible way. I do not yet believe we have seen revival. I believe that God is not done, because this time, this revival is not going to be like others that have come because of sovereignty of God or because of the prayers of God's people or for whatever other reason. God is going to have the condition met this time, because it's going to be a worldwide revival. Not one in Wales, not one in the hinterlands of America or some such thing. Not just in some part of India. But this is going to be a worldwide revival. These are revival fires that we are hearing about today. But God is going to bring forth a revival that is on a worldwide scale. This is not the lost being brought in. This is only the church coming alive again. I'm not talking about the lost. We're talking only about the church now, primarily. The church of Jesus Christ being built up. If God has to, He'll eliminate and empty out the church and build it with new stones if He has to. But I believe that God is going to use the people of God, the people that have already been apathetic and have been self-indulgent and have been busy with religious works and so on. He's going to begin touching those that have been religious for so long, or those that even have been rebellious but have heard the Word of God. He's going to continue to call those people for a time right now. During this time of confusion and trouble and rumors and wars, but just minor, during that time, God is calling the church, and especially the Gideon 300, especially those who have an ear to hear now, who have been already attuned to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Especially they are listening. Later others will listen because it will be more clear. But today, only those that have lain close to the breast of Jesus are hearing the whispers of the Spirit of God moving across the chaos and the troubles and so on that's in this world and calling forth a people. Now, this time right now is, I believe, the time of Revelation 3:20. When Jesus stands at the door and is knocking and saying to His church, I want to come in. To the church that bears His name, He's saying, I'm not really experientially, I know I am doctrinally, I know I am as far as your hearts are concerned, but I'm not really dwelling in your midst, the Holy God. There is no fear of God in the churches today on a church-wide scale. I know there's a few believers here and there, and there might even be a few congregations that have begun to experience the fear of God. But we have not yet preached fervently on the fear of God. But we are going to be a church that's going to come into the fear of God, to know that God is in our midst. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because the fear of God is like a fire that burns up every aspect of flesh, that will not allow one aspect of flesh to be in our midst, to put away every stain. It's not enough just to clean up a bit or to make the living room look good so that when the Lord comes, say, well, you know, come on in. We must clean up every back room, every attic, every closet, every basement, everywhere in the house until the house is cleansed. That is the work of the Spirit of God right now. The Spirit of God is calling us to be totally and thoroughly cleansed. You say, how can we do it? God has already made the provision. He is already calling you. It will be done. It can be done. God's doing it. And He is calling for a people right now to prepare themselves. The revival will come at the last part of the holiness movement. Holiness precedes revival this time. Holiness precedes it. It's going to come before it. God is going to bring forth a people that are not just pure, but are mature. And there's a difference. In the early church, there was great purity. They had all the elements. But they did not have the full maturity, the full flowering of the spiritual work. They just began. They began a great work. It was a glorious work. But that has not come to its fullness. It will in our day. This is short. What I'm telling you is short. It's coming right now. We're talking about months and years, just right now. So right now there's a time of confusion. There's a time of chaos in the world. But Satan is reigned by God. Even though he's spreading his net, and even though you'll be frightened if you look at the net, because the net is very effective and very. The more you see it, the more you realize, boy, there are governments behind governments behind governments that I didn't even know about. And there's an invisible spread that's going on. You can see the blood is real on the television. You can see that the hatred is real between Arab and Jew and so on. But what you cannot see is that the causes are unknown. Very seldom do they even mention what the causes are. They don't even venture to guess what the causes are. It's because they're only known in hell. They're not known in the earth. People don't even know why all these things are happening. They're not told. There's a darkness. There's a veil. There's scales over the eyes of this world. They do not know the times or the seasons. They don't know what's going on. And even the reporters don't even venture to say why this has all come about. These are always ancient things that they can't quite figure out and so on. These are movements on a vast scale. But I tell you, we know why. It's because of sin. It's because people have rejected the counsel of God. It's because they live in darkness. And it's because the church is full of dead works. It's because the church today is full of dead men's bones. It's because the church today is hypocritical. It's because the church today is like a whitewashed tomb, and it has not yet been revived. It is not alive. It has kind of a body, but it's just bones. It's dry. It's dead. And do not become excited yet because maybe the finger is moving or something like this. I tell you, when this body moves, we're all going to move together. We're going to move together. It won't just be America. It won't just be Africa. It won't just be in Europe. It won't just be. It's going to be worldwide. It's going to be exciting. But right now, the next thing that's going to happen after that is as Jesus comes in and starts to walk among the candlesticks again, begins to minister in his churches personally, as he comes in to take a personal hand, then right after the revival, immediately following the revival, so right now there's the Gideon 300 like us called out, then there's a time of confusion, then there's a call to holiness, and then there's a great revival on a worldwide scale, I believe beginning in this country. The brother and I, we might dispute about whether it's South Africa or Fort Worth, Texas. I don't know. I personally believe that it's taking place right here. I personally believe that a great revival is going to take place in this country. So whether it starts here and lights the candle in South Africa, I don't know. But I just know that this thing is going to have worldwide proportions, and there's going to be a worldwide revival of the Christians. That will bring a small conflict. It will seem to be a great conflict. Satan intends at that point, at the very birth of the church, to destroy the work just as it's revived. And the church itself, if it has its eyes on man, will suddenly despair just when it's come into its glory. The church itself will wonder if all of that's been in vain, as though the end was suddenly going to come. And this conflict will appear great, but it will be small. And God, in his timing, will cut it off, and there will be a miraculous lull. Suddenly there will be a great age of peace. There will be a great time of peace, so that the harvest can be cut, so that it can be gathered, and so that it can be stored in barns. You cannot do that during a time of war. There will be a great time of peace, a time when a worldwide harvest, after this small conflict takes place, then immediately there will be a miraculous change in the world order. Suddenly there will just be a change, it will just come, and men will not understand what's going on, but we will know what's going on, because during that time it will be a time of peace. And that peace will bring about the greatest harvest of souls that has ever been seen on the face of the earth. There will be great multitudes brought into the kingdom of God. We're praying for them now. Now is the time to prepare your hearts to fill heaven with prayers added to the centuries, added to the thousands of years of prayers by the saints of God for the lost. Now, on September 8th, which is Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, I personally feel God has divinely, sovereignly, called us to a 10-day fast. That is from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. That is for 10 days between the Festival of Trumpets and the Day of the Lord, or the Day of Atonement. That symbolically means a lot. But forgetting that, I just believe the Lord is calling us to fast with a very specific purpose. The purpose of that fast is not only to prepare ourselves for this holiness and revival and so on, but to begin to intercede for the lost. To pray that God would bring the fear of God upon us. To pray fervently, because without fervent prayer and fasting, no prayers are going to enter heaven, and heaven will not be able to do its work. I'm going to say that again. God is waiting for us to grab a hold of the altar of incense and pray and pray and fast and be fervent until the incense of our prayers reaches heaven, until it must say yes. Now, heaven is waiting for us to pray for souls that are lost, in English, in tongues, any way we can, just to beseech heaven with prayer. Now, you may not believe that. You may have found in your life that prayer doesn't always work. You may have believed, well, I prayed and nothing happened, or not much happened, and I'm not much at praying and so on. I'm telling you right now, as you fast and pray, God is going to answer. You need to fast and pray, because what you ask for is what you're going to gain. What you ask for is what God is going to give. And God is not going to do it apart from you. God is giving, so to speak, the number into your hand. This is not quite true, but I want to impress you with this, that you are the body of Christ. As you hear the Lord, you're going to know how to pray. In that sense, it's the Lord's number. But as you hear the Lord, you're going to pray, and you God is waiting for you, the body of Christ, to raise up these prayers to heaven as a sweet aroma, as a joy-filled aroma, as a delight to God, and God will say yes later. Now, the harvest is a long time from now. The harvest is not now. This is a time of confusion, followed by a time of holiness as the church begins to mature itself, followed by a time of revival, followed by a time of conflict, but the conflict will be short, followed by then, after that short, a wonderful, miraculous time of peace in which there will be a great harvest. Following that, that is the final move of God. Then the enemy's net will once more be sewn together. It will accomplish all that it intended to accomplish. That veil will be wrapped so tight around the world that the believers will be removed from it, and it will be patched up. There'll be no light in it, and they will be judged. There'll be the judgment of the whore. There'll be the judgment of the world system. There'll be the judgment of the Antichrist. There'll be the judgment of Satan, and then the children of God will be released. The Lord Jesus himself will have married his bride and will come back. That is what I understand in the days ahead. I believe this is a very now word, that the thing before us right now is not harvest, although don't be fooled, by the way, by many revivals and many harvests. There'll be all kinds of words out there. Don't be fooled by it. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. If you have ears to hear, this is what the Spirit is saying. I am calling my church right now to holiness, unto maturity, calling them unto me, to worship me in spirit and in truth, to come before me naked, that I might clothe them, that I might give them sight to see, that I might put the garments of righteousness on them. God is calling for a people that are not afraid of him. I tell you, unless this excites you, if these words are dismal to you, then you are not a lover of God. Only lovers get excited. Only lovers will make it through. Only lovers are going to endure. Anyone else will not endure because it'll get too hot for you. It'll be too much. But those that are lovers won't be afraid. Those that are lovers will be excited. In fact, the more the heat's turned up, the more excited we get. Amen?
Amen.
Say again. Amen?
Amen?
I tell you, God is looking for lovers. That is, those who have eyes for nothing. Unless you become a cynic, unless you become cynical about this world and its possibilities for you. You know, don't get too hung up on prosperity and all that stuff. Unless you become a cynic about the things of this world, I tell you, God will prosper us. Prosperity is biblical. But don't misunderstand. You must become a cynic. That is, disillusioned with this world. Husbands, wives, pastors, churches, the world, everything. There is no hope in this world. There is no hope in man. There is no hope in flesh. The people of God are the most naive people of all. It's better to deal with the world than the people of God because they're so naive. I tell you, among the people of God, we find more naivete than anywhere else. The people of God ought to be cynics, past cynicism, beyond cynicism. You ought at least have a healthy disrespect and hatred of this world system, not a hope that, you know, maybe we'll be able to help the world rulers out. Look, don't help the world rulers. Don't worry about it. They'll be fine. God has already provided. God will keep this world together until it's ready for it to go away. God's going to keep the world together. I'm not. Go ahead and vote, pay your taxes, do all that kind of stuff, but don't worry about helping Caesar out too much. God has called you, especially in these last times, but I believe it's always been this, God has called you to do one thing, build the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom and all other things. I tell you, God is able to change a nation in an instant. In an instant. But he doesn't have a people now that he can trust. They're all working slowly and they've got computers and they're raising $1 billion for this and they're doing that. And the churches are helping out the world. That's whoredom. Anytime you're helping out the world, now listen to me carefully. You check me out in the Word of God. When you help out the world, you're mixing. There isn't time. Leave the world alone. Let the dead bury the dead. Don't worry about it. God has a harvest. He won't miss a one. What he's looking for is a church that's pure. Stop worrying about how we can help out to save the neighborhoods and so on. Just do what God told you to do, and you will see as a byproduct, you will accomplish 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times more than any program that the government or the city or those well-meaning liberal churches intend to do. Or now it's charismatics. No, now they're getting in on it, and they're going to do it through the Spirit and all that kind of stuff. Look. The Holy Spirit is speaking this word to his churches. Stop worrying about cleaning up the world or making sure it's patched up in order to be around. It'll be around. The world is not falling apart. It's all right. It has its day. It's numbered.
What God is looking for is a people that are separated, a people that are holy, a people that yearn to know Him. Oh, if He only had people that would open the door, that He might come in and know them, that He might have sweet intercourse with them, that He have a people that would say, those are men and women of God. How few we can say that of today. There is a woman of God. There is a man of God. Today we say, now there's one that goes to church. They're just fanatics. You know, they go to church all the time. That's not what we want said. What we want said is, that's a woman of God. That's a man of God. Watch out. Don't mention you have a headache around that person. They'll, you know, don't, you know, there'll be a fear that the people of God know how to get things done. We are the rulers of this world. Do you understand that? We are the rulers of this world. God has ordained you and I to rule and to reign with Him. We're beginning now. But the first lesson of that ruling is to pick up your scepter and to make sure that that which you do is in line with the will of God. To do that, you must know the will of God. To do that, you must know God. To do that, you must get quiet before God. You must come into His presence. You must fast. You must pray. And there in the intimacy of the curtain, another veil, it's a different veil, in the intimacy of that curtain, which God has now removed for us through the flesh of Jesus Christ, you can come into the boldly into the presence of God, and He will begin to cleanse and purify and delight Himself in you and sing over you. Have you ever heard the Lord sing over you? You know, the Lord is a singer. The angels apparently don't sing, but God does. God has a song that He loves to sing over His beloved. We are that beloved. God is looking for a people that know Him that way, that can spend unhurried hours in His presence. I tell you, after unhurried time in the presence of God, one moment is worth 100 years of human activity. God can do in a moment what it has taken Satan centuries and generations and millennia to build up. Satan has for 6,000 years now worked to destroy this earth. Yet, in one moment on Calvary, a rip was just torn. It was torn to shreds, that net. Now he has worked his way, and you know, he's used his Napoleons and his Maos and his Stalins, and you know, he's had all his cronies and so on working to put that darkness back over the people, Catholicism and even Protestantism and even Charismaticism. You know, he can use anything. Did you know that anything can become an idol? Independent churchism, you know, all kinds of stuff. Anything that you look to other than God. God is a jealous God. It is the jealousy of God right now that demands that we be a holy people. Now, the reason for that, I want to stress, is for happiness. It's to bless you. There's nothing but blessing here. We are not talking about grim days. We're talking about a grim appearance, but happy days for us. This is the most, if you're a lover, this is the most exciting time because the beloved is coming back and he's seeking for a bride that is fit, that is pure, and that is big. He wants a big church. Did you know that? He wants a fat wife, if I can put it that way. He wants us to delight ourselves in fatness. He wants us to be big. God's into bigness. He really is. God wants to have a large body. He wants to have a large body that He can love. God has so much to give to us. I didn't really mean that about fatness, but it's kind of a joke. But you understand that we are to delight ourselves in fatness. The idea is there's such extravagance with God. Everything about God that you know is extravagant. When He creates a tree, He doesn't just create it with one leaf. He has millions of leaves and billions of leaves that no one's ever even seen. You know, who's ever seen half of the leaves on the trees just around the building here? Nobody even looks at them. Every blade of grass that's out there. You know, just things at the bottom of the sea no one's ever seen. God is so extravagant. And each one of us is a precious, precious universe. Each one of us is a precious person who have been made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. You're precious to God. There are billions of people on the face of the earth today, each one known by God by name. They are lost. Most of them are lost. That we have to tell them. I tell you, before you tell them, pray for them. In the 10 days that are coming up, and by the way, we're not dictating how you should fast. Fast any way you want to. But just fast and pray. And begin to seek God for holiness. Begin to seek God to know His mind, to know what the Spirit's saying to the church right now, calling us to that glorious revival. You know, we have never seen a truly revived church. Even those revivals that we've read about in the past, they have never had everything. They haven't had everything. They either had the mission but not the message, or they had the message but not the power without the structure without this or that or something or other. But going forth is going to be glorious, splendid.
No man is going to get glory. God, if God had to, God would remove, in whatever fashion He needed to, all those that would rob Him of glory. There will be no heroes, no egos, no big shots. The church that we're talking about is a church of ordinary people. The church that we're talking about is a church that is absent of that which is fleshly and successful and so on and so forth. We're talking about a people that are real and genuine and plain. Because it's Jesus Christ alone that we must magnify.
Amen.
And even though today there is an opaqueness in the leadership, that's all right. But I tell you, a good mother knows how to be a mother that's there for a while, and then they know how to recede. They know how to recede. So at first there'll be a heaviness, and then there'll be a receding, a recession, as the people of God come forth. We will not release the people of God until they are strong and mighty, but we will not bind the people of God that they would be destroyed. It's a very delicate thing that only the Spirit knows how to do. If you just let the people go, they'll dissipate and be destroyed. At first it'll seem good, but it won't work. If you overlead, then you destroy the Spirit and quench it. It's a miracle. I don't know how it works. All I know is that it will work, and God is going to have such a people. I'm one of those people. I know I'm one. I know that I've been chosen of God. You are those people. I don't know exactly who, but many of you I know have been called of God to be part of that Gideon 300, part of that sold out, and you're not going to be weird, just strange people. We just don't want to have a bunch of strange, weird people. We want you to be fools for Jesus Christ. We want you to be sold out for the Lord. The world will call you strange and weird, but I don't want you to be strange and weird. I want you to be healthy and strong and loving and kind and forgiving and in every way like Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ was different, but everybody knew who that was. And I tell you, when you are in this world, the world's going to know who you are. And when they come to judgment day someday, they'll say, well, I didn't know that person. I didn't know exact, no. They're going to know when they're in your presence. I tell you, there's no excuse when we're in the earth, when we're working as the body of Christ. Today, I tell you, because of us, the world today lays in darkness. Not because of Satan, because of us. Because the church was given the commission. Because of you, the Gentiles blaspheme God. Yes, because of us. It's because of the Jews. And now it's because of the Christians. It's because of us. So let us remove ourselves as an obstacle and let us become transparent so that as we decrease, He might increase. And that the Lord Jesus might be seen once more among us. Are you afraid of the message of holiness? Say amen.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of this message. It is the most joyous, the most exciting, the most happy, the most blessed, the most prosperous, the most healthy. It's the most exciting message there is. A lot of people are just preaching one message. But unless you put together and balance the message with holiness, you will not be able to keep that which God blesses you with or that which you have received. There's only one way to keep it, and that's to go all the way with Jesus Christ. We're looking for lovers. I want to see people that are saying to me as a pastor, Pastor, don't tell us anything less than the truth. We want to hear the whole truth, no matter how painful it seems to our flesh. We don't care about our flesh. Let it die. Tell us the truth. And you say right now, that's me, Pastor. But I tell you, most people do not want to hear the truth, unvarnished. But this is a people that we will increasingly tell the truth to. This is a people that we will not hold back. Now I tell you, you're not yet ready for the full truth. We still must feed a lot of milk because there's a lot of babes among us. And we do not want to destroy them. Therefore, we are going to feed the truth that's in the milk for a while before we go on. But there is a day coming when we will go on and on and on. And there's much more. How many know there's much more? How many know? The only way you could know is if God told you, because we haven't shared it. But there is more. And it's exciting. It's so good. There's great joy. So God wants, by the way, even if you miss out on the holiness movement, there's another opportunity to come into the revival movement. And even if you missed out on the holiness movement and the revival movement, there's another opportunity to get in on the harvest. I just wanted you to know there's lots of opportunities to get in. It's just if you're called to go all the way, like I know I am, and like we know we are in this church, then you want to go all the way today. You want to go now. We're ready now to go all the way. And many people couldn't do it. Many people are already worn out with humans, running with humans. A lot of people are just thrown if their wife gets mad at them. You know, a lot of people haven't even become the head of their own homes. A lot of people can't even run with men. They get worn out. You know what I'm saying? How can you run with horses then, the Bible says? How are you going to run when the Spirit says run? How can you? We haven't even faced anything yet. What we've faced today has been nothing. But there's days coming that are going to be much more rigorous and vigorous. And I'll tell you another thing. Unless you learn now what's going on in the kingdom of God, it will be too late later to learn. Now, you'll be in on it, but you won't know what's going on. You must learn your lessons now while there is leisure time, because later it's going to happen so quickly, so suddenly, so successively that you won't be able to keep up with the last movement. You'll still be, as a brother said this morning, sitting at the ashes of the last fire when God has already moved on. And God is going to move because there's a work to be done. There's an enemy to overthrown. I want to see, I long to see the day that the enemy, that his power has been broken, that the fear, the darkness, the ignorance that he has spread over the peoples of this world has been pierced and broken and shattered. I tell you, we're going to open up a billion holes in the fabric of that net. I want to read this scripture in closing then. This is in chapter 25. I'm going to begin just a few verses about verse 6. And in this mountain, he's been talking about God being a refuge and a strength to the poor and the needy and so on. And in this mountain, the mountain of Zion, shall the Lord of hosts make unto all the people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you that this is our God. This is truly the God who once walked the earth in the person of Jesus. This is the God who parted the sea. This is the God who went through the fire. This is the God who was in the lion's den. This is the God who has set your people free and delivered them from every snare and every cross. This is the God who has restored to the people that which the worms have eaten. This is the God who walks on the face of the earth. We thank you, Lord God, that you have not left us or departed. And we invite you now to come to be part of us. We open the door to you, Lord God, with prayer and with fasting, with fervency. We open the door and say, come in. Come in, Lord Jesus. Once more rule your church. Once more be the pastor of your church. Once more be the shepherd of every local congregation. Once more call unto yourself a multiplicity of local elders who listen to you, the local elder, that you might bring your whole body throughout the whole earth together in a concerted effort to step on and to overthrow the enemy, to rip his net and to destroy the veil and to overthrow his gates and to burn his bars and to release his captives. Oh, Lord God, we want to see the light shine in the darkness. We want to see the peoples come forth. And we know we're going to, Lord God. This is a preaching tonight. This is not a teaching. It's an exhortation to be pure. It's an exhortation. It's a call to prepare your hearts. Oh, people of God, be prepared before the Lord God, for he's coming. He's coming to judge the house of God. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. This is a great word. This is a joyous word. This is a happy word. This is a wonderful word for those that have longed to see the glory of God, the holiness of his beauty. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.